Cable GSC. Andy, when's the Hamfest over there?
Third Saturday of this month, and it'll be the 15th, I think. Third Saturday of this month down at Darwin Wright Park. Patrick, I don't know if you've ever been to it or not. That's where me and Larry, I think, first met at, but down at Darwin Wright Park, right there above Anderson, off the interstate.
Land for DME.
What the fall? I mean, yeah, well, you are Paul, but give it to Patrick.
Well, I don't know if I'm Paul or not. It's been a while since I've looked in the mirror, but anyway. I think it was Patrick, I think it was. I've been sitting here feeding my face and watching TV and trying to listen to y'all talk. But the Anderson Helm Fest is supposed to be October the 15th, which is, like he was saying, the third Saturday of this month, October 15th. And typically it's about 8 o'clock till whenever they get done. Typically 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, from what I've been to it in the years past. But it's, I think, like 8 o'clock in the morning till whenever they get through, I guess. But it's right off of Interstate 85, right there. I think it's the easiest way to get to it is exit 21. I had to think there for a minute. But exit 21 is right there off of 187, I think it is, or 178, I think Sue told me. But it's been a couple of years since I've been to it. But anyway, it's right there. It's not even 2 seconds right off the interstate, right there at exit 21 if you go to the interstate. Or if not, it's, you go that road at where Walmart and Sam's on. You just go through all the red lights, keep going straight and around the curve and across the lake and down there on the right before you get to the interstate. But anyway, but to answer your question there, Andy, I don't know if I'm going or not. It depends on if I got enough of pennies in the piggy bank to get me there. I'm over here, and I don't know if we're going to have the gas to be able to get there or not, considering my doctor's appointments and everything else that's going on this month. So it's, I don't know. I would like to go. It's been a couple of years since I've been, me and Craig and a bunch of us went, I think it was, or not Craig, Dan and Woody. And they took some stuff over there and sold it one Saturday a couple of years ago. But anyway, Andy, I'm going to try to make it. I don't know. I'm not going to say yeah or no. It just depends on if the funds are there for the gas or not. But I won't know until the last minute probably. But anyway, go ahead, Patrick.
You see, well, I've been through it about two or three times. I couldn't remember when the date was.
Want me to jump in here, right here? I've got it. KK4JBQ. Paul, I just wanted to ask you. You've done something to your station lately. It is so clear, crystal clear, full quieting. And I know that's a long haul, so if you would, explain what you've done to that station to improve it so much.
We haven't done anything. Typically, you hear when Daddy checked in, he checked in on the, he was using my mobile radio set up in the living room on a J-pole antenna made out of copper pipe leaned up against the front door. So that's probably what you're accustomed to hearing over the last probably 2 years while I was incognito. But my base station here that I'm using, that I always use, 95% of the time, I let the machine burp. Still my TS-2000, roughly 50 watts. I'm using 7/8 hard line to my 11-element Cushcraft 2-meter beam antenna, which is set up vertically on a about 70 feet off the ground. And, you heard me right, 7/8 hard line. But anyway, That's about it. And I can key up just about any repeater off of 50 watts or less. You know, the 7.9, the 6.1, the 3.3.0 down in Columbia, I can key it up. I can key all kind of repeaters up over there in South Carolina using this setup the way I've got it. I got low SWRs, 1 to 1, 1 to 2, throughout the whole band. So I got a good, I guess you'd say a good station and whatnot with the hard line and all that kind of stuff. But it's, well, I've had this set up for, what, 5, 8 years, 10 years maybe?
Thank you for that rundown. It does seem that you have covered all of the requirements to have an excellent station, and I compliment you on it. Commend you on your work, and it's working real well for you. I don't think I've heard anyone at a greater distance sound so good. Anyway, if you all will allow it, I'm kind of feeling my tired, and I'm going to excuse. It's been a good day, but it's been a long one, and Donna's been with some friends of hers today, and I've just had time to take care of all the little piddly things that one has to do, and when she's away, I'm not pulled to do this or that or the other thing while she's here. In her absence, I get a lot of little things done. So, everybody take good care. Patrick, it was wonderful to hear you. And it's reminded me of a very good time we spent together. I appreciate that. I don't know if you knew KG4GFU had passed away. John, I think you and John were acquainted. And Andy can fill you in more if you wish, but we lost a good one there. And Paul, it's great to talk with you personally, just to have a few words. And Andy, it is always wonderful to speak with you, a real gentleman on this repeater. And I'm fortunate to know you, sir. Everyone have a good night. Get a good night's rest and a good day tomorrow. 73 KK4JBQ. I'm clear.
4JBQ, KJ4UHX.
While you're here, Jamie, I guess you heard what he said there. KG4GFU passed away about 2 or 3 months ago. John did, without a H. KI4LCI. Go ahead, Jamie.
To hear that. True friend, surely gone. But I was just going to tell Larry it was good to hear him. And tell Donna we said hello. It's been too long. Andy, good to hear you and Paul and Patrick and everybody. KJ4UHX.
Appreciate that, Larry. And, yeah, I talked to John. What was it, GFU? I think you said it was. It's been a while. But, yeah, I've talked to him on the radio many times, many days, many weeks and months, and over the last 20-something years and whatnot. And I think I've actually met him a few times over there at Greenville, Spartanburg, Hellfest when they had it. And years ago, back when they used to have the Anderson Hellfest over there at the fairgrounds, way back when, at the fairgrounds in Anderson. I met him back then. For the hobby, when me and Daddy and my uncle used to go to the Hempfest over there in Anderson at the fairgrounds. But anyway, I hate to hear that. He was a good ham, and we always had some good conversations and, you know, and whatnot. And it could be 1 o'clock in the morning and have a good conversation, or, you know, 8 o'clock in the night or whatever. But I hate to hear that. Seems like over the last 2 years that I've been out of the swing of things, that I've heard of a lot of hams actually passing away. We had one of the guys in our ham radio club that passed away about 2 years ago, maybe. And he was a good Elmer. He was 70, no, I take it back. He was 86 years old, I think. And I was fortunate enough to give him his technician and general and his license. He's always, had a lot of stress on him, and he had a house up here in Rayburn County and one down in Tampa, Florida, where the hurricane come up. And, you know, he had a lot of stress on him and a lot of stuff on his mind, and he used ham radio as an outlet to relieve that stress, talking to people around the world and hearing people around the world, especially on 20 and 40 meters. So, you know, me and you, and you know, and of course with the bunch that's on the 6-1 machine here, you know, y'all always been a good group of people and a good group of Elmers, and over the years, and some of you that actually helped me out to, you know, to keep the 3-3 over Peter going. One, keeping in mind that one that we all know is Ray, because somebody told me that Ray passed away not too long ago, or last year, whenever it was. So he was another one that helped me and was always there if I needed help, you know, keeping the 3-3 over Peter going and that club over there and whatnot. So it's always been a good group over there in South Carolina and a good group of hams, and the attitude, the personality, the atmosphere and everything, and all the diversity of people that I have got to meet along the way. So it seems like there's a lot of them passing away over the last 2 or 3 years. But anyway, appreciate it there, Larry. Go ahead, Andy, pick it up, turn it around.
LZI, J4SU Jeep passed away, not the May of this year, but the May of last year, first week in May. They come on this net here and said that he had passed away. And you may have known A.K. Gray. I don't. Some do, some don't, but W4HAG is also a silent T. And he passed away, he was about 3 or 4 months after Ray passed away, sometime late last fall, W4HAG become a silent T. And whoever's to take it, go ahead and take it, KI4LZI.
Get that AK passed away, not
like... He sure did, J04NUE got some of his gear when it was sold off in an estate sale. Chad did that, 706 the AK had. Chad got it, but it was late fall last year sometime when AK passed away, and like I said, Ray, the first week in May. That's just the ones right now I can remember, right recently. KI4LZI, go ahead.
Let me jump in. Andy, thanks for the information. I know I've not been around much, but been hanging out on Mitchell a lot, so just wanted to pop in and say hello to everybody. KJ4UHX.
KI4LZI. I don't remember how many of us are still here, but unfortunately, I can't do Mitchell reliably from here. There's times with everything I got, I might bring it up, but I can't do it reliably from here because Very Mountain at Distance Zone blocks it. So I've heard you up there a time or two, but I never could bring that machine up to let you know about it. So I'm glad you come down here. Whoever's to take it, go ahead and take it.
Let's see, Wayne, I'm sorry to hear about John. I had a dollar for every hour spent, you know, on late night rag sessions. We didn't have a lot of money. John was always up for a good conversation. Of course, I had heard about Ray, but I didn't know, W4AK and HXA both passed.
AKG. W4AKG. He passed away about 3 or 4 months late last fall after Ray passed away.
Well, I have to give Dan a little bit of update when I speak to him tomorrow, but appreciate you letting me know. K4GSC, next one, take it on.
K4GXC, KJ4UHX, what's going on with you, Patrick? Ain't heard you in a long time.
Well, I guess you was late to the party, eh? There ain't nothing a whole lot going on. Got one of my kids graduated school and joined the Army, and I got another one graduating this year. And only thing I'm doing is, that ain't new. I'm working all the time, of course, but I'm going to school full-time as well.
Hey, Roger. I hear that. Last I remember, you was working security over around Spartanburg. I'm sure you're probably not over there anymore.
Just took a new job today, actually. I'm going to be working with autistic kids and going to school. And that's about it. That's about the size of it. I guess turned 50 and had a midlife crisis, decided to switch everything up. K4GSC.
Well, how's your pop doing?
He's doing okay. He moves awful slow. But other than that, that's about it. He's always lurking and listening, but he don't always talk. K4GSC.
Well, do me a favor, Patrick. Tell him I said hello, and it's good to hear you as well. But I want back on out of here and get out of the way. Andy, thank you for the update about the solid keys, and maybe we'll catch everybody sometime later on around the dial somewhere. 73, take care. God bless. KJ4UHX.
And I assume, I'm not sure, but I assume, man. KI4LZI. Yeah, I've heard you a time or two up there on Mitchell, but it just ain't reliable for me. Even with 50 watts here, I can't do it reliably. I have heard you up there. I'm glad you come down here with one that I could inform you that about. You said Keith's still around. Is he going to ever get back active again?
I can't tell you. He's always been like it. He likes to listen more than he does talk, but, you know, and when he hears things that, you know, pique his interest, or if he hears certain people talk, he'll jump in there. But, you know, somebody's retired, he stays awful busy, so he ain't always right there at the radio. K4GSC.
Well, one more quick question before I run off. Has anybody heard Earl lately?
KI4LZI. In a field day. Last weekend in June, he popped in here during that weekend here late one evening. He's pretty much tied up with the family business. When he popped in here during that one of those nights during field day, the last of June, that's the first time I've heard him in probably, I guess, a half a year to a year. That's what he told me and others that was on here at the time. He just tied up with the family business right now.
If you happen to hear him again, tell him I said hello and a few others that, you know, I used to talk with regularly. But I want to, like I said, go ahead and get out of here. Patrick, good to hear you, buddy, as always. Take care. And everybody, Andy, all y'all have a good night. I'm getting out of here. KJ4UHX, 73.
I'm going to get out of here myself and roam around the band and see what I can hear or what I can't hear. And see who else is listening that I can't hear. Hee hee. But good to hear you, Andy. I've been kind of asking Daddy every once in a while when I talk to him before I got back on the radio, has he heard you or whatever and everything. And of course, sometimes I hear you on the tune into the net sometimes. But anyway, good to hear you, Andy, and take care of yourself up there on the rock. And everything, and Larry, and everybody else out there. And for DME to pass it around.
Patrick, go ahead.
Good night, and just Maria. Sound like you had a busy day. 73 to you.
Just I don't know if it's just you and me, Patrick, or not, but you say he's pretty busy. Did he ever come about somehow getting him an HF station of some kind?
I don't think he's going to mess with HF much. He likes the 2 meters, and honestly, he likes the skin. He did get him an HF receiver, a really nice ICOM, and got him a really nice digital trunking scanner. So he stays kind of busy with that kind of thing. K4 GSC.
Tell the guy. Well, whatever he's got, I hope it's newer than about 5 or 6 year old, because if it ain't, when they reband at 800, it'll be like the one I got here. It won't be any good anymore.
I bought him one of them top of the line. He ain't had it but about a year. Matter of fact, I got one too, but I got the handheld version.
But it's back in 04. And being that it was pre-programmed when it was new, there's no way to change that pre-programming without changing a circuit board in it. So if it's too old, you know, it ain't going to cut it on 800 as it is now.
We get everything. I had to block out a lot of stuff from mine because it programs by zip code, and then you can set the radius on it that you want. But I get stuff from North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina. About the only thing local that I can't hear that I wished I could is Greenville County, but they're running encryption, so you're not going to hear them either way.
I texted you, but I didn't know they was encrypting it.
Encrypted, but the city's still clear, and the highway's still in the clear.
About 3 or 4 years ago, when Greenville County left analog, and the only thing that I can hear now is Malden City Police and Greer City Police when the conditions are right, but other than that, that's it.
Back out Pickens County, and some like Pickens County, Henderson County, Polk County, I have to block them out because they'll keep that radio locked up. But I get Malden, TR, Simpsonville, Greer, Highway, I get all the EMS, Pickens County, Oconee County, I pretty much get it all. Like I said, the sheriff's office here in Greenville is the only one that stumps me. But until they stop running encryption, I'm just not going to be able to hear them. K4 GSC.
LCI. Nah, they said when they make that change, we banding that 800. I looked it on about a year or two after it on radio reference, and they said that it would require a card in the receiver would have to be changed out, and of course it's not financially feasible to do. Over here, we're still on analog right now. Now, how long that'll last? That might end at the end of the year, or it may be next year, the year after. I don't know. From what the people up here at the OC tell me, it's two things that's affecting it. One, it'll cost Pickens County $4 million to make the changes, and they need to have 5G throughout the county, which ain't yet working yet. They're in the process of doing it, but it's not yet working.
I know for a fact that the state and the federal government both has grants to help these departments switch over to digital trunking to the new band plan. Part of the problem is if they don't switch by a certain date, then they lose some funding from the government. Because that's one of them things that they mandate. But I don't know. Pickens County is going to be problematic because, on the northern end of the county with all those mountains and hollers and stuff like that, it's going to be hard to get complete 5G coverage all the way through the county. K4GSC.
LZI, well, that's what the deal is when a lot of us have told them that this won't work throughout the county, but being as you just pointed out there, which I wasn't aware of, but I'm not surprised about the requirements from the feds. It'll have to be implemented at some point, but they've been talking this for the past 2 or 3 years over here, but that's the two things they say has to be in place before they can do it. Why they're still using analog right now. And the last I checked, Transylvania County was still using analog, but about everybody else, so as you well know, was done with digital.
I guess, you know, I guess it's like most things, it's a question of money, so I reckon they'll get to it when they get to it.
You know, I like the way the analog is, but I know if the feds are going to require it, which I figured they would, I didn't know it, but I figured they would at some point. They'll have to at some point, but they say that's the two things that's holding them up. The 4 mil and the 5G.
See, Wendy, what it is, you know, after 9/11, when they had all those different departments that couldn't talk to each other on the same radio, the government come up with this scheme. And there's a deadline to it. Now, I want to say it's 2024 is the deadline that they're trying to get every public safety department in the United States to be on board with a new scheme. And if you don't make the deadline, then you start losing Homeland Security money. K4GSC.
Tells the guy, what gets me about all this digital stuff, they're still not going to be interoperable. Everybody here in the upstate's going to be APCO 25 except Oconee County. And they're using DMR. That's the odd man out on this. Everybody up here in the upstate will be APCO 25 and them DMR. There still ain't going to be any interoperability because of what Oconee County done.
See, I imagine before it's all said and done, they'll put the squeeze on Oconee County and they'll have to switch as well because they can't do without that federal money because it cuts all kinds of money for training and material, you know, equipment and all that stuff. K4GSC.
That's the guy. Well, what gets it, buddy? They ain't been on DMR that long, even. I remember about 10, 11 years ago when they were still using analog. And they went DMR, and everybody around that has switched to digital so far that has is APCO 25. That's the part that really, I don't know. You're right about that, but why they went an odd way and everybody else went APCO 25, I mean, some tells me it's cost the price, but it's going to throw a monkey wrench in the interoperability.
Finding problems with APCO 25 as well. Now, I was just talking to a friend of mine that's a trooper, and he said in the lower part of the state, those troopers have still got low-band radios in their car because there's places down there that the digital won't hit. There's dead spots in it. K4GSC.
Well, see, I don't doubt it, but as we pointed out in this communications group here to the county out here, and them talking about switching, they better know what they're doing because, as you said yourself earlier, and that's a fact, we've proven it up here in this horse pasture, there's plenty of places where analog's about impossible. And this digital, you either get it or you don't get it.
See, well, Greenville County's the same way. They've got places where they can't get out. And even when I worked in Spartanburg, let me tell you, when you standing out with somebody and you need some help and you reach and key that radio and you get that dun sound, there ain't nothing that makes your heart beat quite as fast as knowing that radio ain't getting out. K4GSC.
And see, I've heard some with DMR radios when they're not hitting repeater that sound you're talking about.
He's going to end up getting somebody hurt, and somebody's going to end up getting sued over is what's going to happen. They just don't want to spend the money to put up enough repeaters to cover that money, but, you know, what is somebody's life worth at the same time? K4GSC.
That guy for Pickens County told me when he was telling me about the $4 million, it would cost that much just to get the bulk of the county the way it would be operable, which meant he was talking from Judge Wyhound's to him saying that's minimum, $4 million.
He's saying a minimum $4 million, which means it'll be twice as much or more.
Kind of the impression I was given about that. I'm not surprised, you know, maybe not around here, not that we would heard about it, but somewhere around the country where it's not feasible, there's probably already been some people killed. But the thing is, you got the radio manufacturers, they're all too eager to sell new gear. Then you got regulations that's not thought through sensible, as you say, coming from the federal government, and it just ain't talked about.
Well, got emergency services, things like that. Until somebody rich needs help and don't get it because the radios don't work, they won't do nothing about it. You know what I mean? It's one of them things. Until something happens and it's just absolutely dire, then they'll be screaming, we need money, we need money. But until then, every public service, any kind of emergency service, always gets the money last.
Upgrading is sensible and logical and affordable, so be it. But some of this, as you say, like up over here, you know, if you're going to go digital, everybody in this upstate needs to be on one digital system instead of everybody being on one except one Oconee County over there. That's the odd man out. And until something comes up that's reliable between the two, all the different digital systems, where they can communicate with one another, this scheme ain't going to work.
I'm thinking about it, you know, because Oconee County is so close to Georgia, you reckon they did that so they'd have interoperability with some of them Georgia departments that might be on DMR?
It's possible, I guess, but that's why, but they ain't going to be able to communicate with anybody else here in the upstate if everybody else is on APCO 25, KI4LZI.
I don't know. I reckon we ain't going to solve it sitting here chewing the fat about it, but it's definitely a problem. It's definitely a conundrum. K4GSC.
No, I don't claim that I'm going to solve it, but being that's how I found out about the hobbies, here on analog VHF, and UHF, how I found out about this hobby. You know, I've been listening around on this stuff for decades and decades. Analog ain't perfect, and there's no security, so to speak, for it. But digital only works in certain circumstances. And if everybody ain't on the same digital system, there ain't going to still be no interoperability.
You're right. I guess it's one of them problems. We just don't know what we don't know. You know, we'll find out eventually. But anyhow, you been getting along good health-wise and everything?
I manage. Like I said, barring my blood sugar ain't too low. On that Saturday, I've got plans on going to that ham fest down there if my blood sugar ain't too low that morning.
See, well, I'm gonna bring it up to Dad tomorrow, and if he decides he wants to go, then maybe me and Dad and my youngest boy, we might truck down there. He's got interest in radio lately, so I think I'm going to buy him a book here before too long, get him studying so he can take his technician.
Oh, you a good boy is thinking about the tent.
He's 13 and he's been asking tons of questions lately, and he's been hanging out with me, want to check in, and ask me this, that, and the other. So I think he's got bit by the bug a little bit.
Well, let's see. I don't know what they down there have or not, but I know there's stuff online that could help them with it. The ARRL website would have practice questions on it, as well as 889PW. And if he's interested in just listening until he gets it, as we both know, any old programmable analog scanner will receive the analog VHF and UHF, and let him listen to that until he actually gets his tech license.
Got a FT65 here that receives, but it don't transmit. I'm going to try to reset it and see what happens, but I'm going to, if I can get that, if I'll get that radio charged up and let him give a listen on it.
Some of us got started decades ago just by monitoring. When I got that first receiver in Christmas of 76, 1976, when I first heard.
That's how I got started. I scanned first and talked later.
It's long since we talked, I forgot about that, but that's certainly how I found out about it.
Exactly how I got started. I started listening to scanners, and I would listen to this, and I finally went and got my ticket. I remember that day clear as I don't know what. I went down and got mine at the Greenwood Ham Fest. That's where I got my first ticket at. K4GSC.
I ran into W4HKG and W4TWX out there at the flea market sometime in the summer of 05, and they informed me about some of the rule changes involved, and AK went up to Shelby and brought me back a tech book, and I studied it and took the test down at Direct Cross Building in October, and that's when I got my tech.
A lot's changed over the years. I mean, I never would have thought that we'd have all this digital stuff that we got, but, we do. I don't know that it's made the hobby any better, but it probably ain't made it no worse, neither. Personally, I think analog sounds a little bit better, but that might be just me, K4GSC.
It does. That's like listening to single side metal down HF and listen to double sideband AM on HF. It does sound better. But the only problem is we're starting to lose people from, as they call, aging out. And most new people have no desire for amateur radio. The EC of Abbeville County told me 2 or 3 years ago, KL7FO did, that he was going to tell some stouts about it, and one of them told him, why should they get in amateur radio? They can take their cell phone they got and call anywhere in the world. Well, it kind of took him back for a moment, and he didn't know how to come back to it, but the thing is, they didn't realize that's all infrastructure. Not as many young people are getting into it as they should anymore, because internet and cell phone is everything anymore.
I don't know about that. I was reading an article not too long ago that said that because people are starting to get into preparedness, prepping kind of thing, and because of COVID, a lot of people took the hobby up.
Might be since COVID and this crap over in Europe going on, that might be possibly true, but prior to that, and that's when he has happened to the EC down there back. It was pre-COVID. They brought that up to some of them, and they had no interest in it. He couldn't, well, he knew, but he didn't know how to word to explain it to someone that didn't know any better, that those things are dependent on an infrastructure not failing. Because technically they're right. Yeah, they can call anywhere in the world, but it might not always be functioning. He realized later, he told me later, that he should have come up with a way to explain that better to that scout.
You know, if these kids was half as smart as they thought they was, they'd know that the a cell phone ain't nothing but a radio. It's working off a repeater. And really, packet radio is the technology that brought cell phones about. K4GSC.
Tells the guy, you're right. Some of us knows that, but they don't understand that. Unfortunately. And all good talking about packet has got about, I don't remember the frequency right now, what the frequency is on it, but right around in this area here talking about packet. There's one on Glassy Mountain, Caesar's Head, Sassafras Mountain, 6 Mile Mountain. A bunch of packet repeaters on these mountains that's currently active that our group's kind of helped get on the air and working. But Ben, I don't have a setup here for it. I didn't pay that frequency that much attention. I know what that frequency is because he's involved with this packet.
DME was in here earlier.
K04 November Uniform Echo. K04 November Uniform Echo. K04 NUE. He and Larry was in here talking right after the night.
I may holler at him one night. I'm getting kind of interested in faggot.
Chad and quite a few others over here are doing that, and there's repeater stations on all those mountains, but Chad would know the frequency because he's involved in with it, but I don't have a setup here for that, and that frequency went by me.
Probably find it in the repeater reference guide.
Repeater journal a long time. I hope it's there. One of them will be under, the one on Glass will be under the call sign WX4PG, and the others, I'm not sure what the call signs they will be under. But from my understanding now, there's still a lot about packets that I don't know about. They're all on the same frequency. All those are.
We'll get it figured out. Andy, I'm gonna let you go. Probably need to get to bed so I can get up early in the morning and do my doing. So I'm going to let you hold it. K4GSC, I'll be clear on your final.
Minutes I got to take in, so. KG. Boy. KI4LCI clear. It's been a while and I'm forgetting it.
Hey, Kilo 4 Golf Sierra Charlie.
We'll talk to you later, KI4LCI.